Today, after the RBA deluge, what next? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and product news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined by Steve from Canstar. Hi, Steve.
G'day, Martin. How are you doing?
Yeah, pretty good. How are you?
Terrific, thank you.
Well, we're speaking directly after the RBA's announcement yesterday about rates going up another 50 basis points. It wasn't really surprising, but the fallout is what I really want to explore a bit today because I think there are some consequences.
Yeah, there are. It's we still don't have a lot of wage growth in Australia. It's patchy, as the Reserve Bank says, and they say it's in some sectors and not others. But the problem is that a lot of the recent home loan borrowers have been in sectors where they haven't seen wage increases. Normally, when rates go up, it's because inflation's gone up. That's the case here now. But normally, it's caused by wage inflation. And we haven't had that this time. So people haven't seen the wage increases that will help them with the loan repayments going up. That's the problem that we're really facing right now.
Right. And of course, you mentioned inflation. You know, the cost of living are rising, particularly the non-discretionary cost of living. So people are having to shell out more for the same thing. One reason why the retail figures might be quite strong. They're not necessarily buying more stuff. They're having to pay more for the same stuff.
Yeah, they are. And look, when people think about non-discretionary, some people might not know what that is, but it's the grocery bill, it's petrol, it's your insurances, it's your electricity, your telco, all those things that are necessary costs of living. They're the things that are going up. And so it's not sort of like the fancy restaurant meals, they're going up too, but you can avoid that. But these are the things that you have to pay, the bills you've got to pay, the living expenses you've got to pay. And people are going to struggle to meet that, plus an extra $650 in a $500,000 loan repayment that they'll have seen since the Reserve Bank started these increases.
Yeah, and I think that's a very startling statistic. I saw you put out a release that showed the cumulative effect of all of these rate rises since May, right? And, you know, if you've got $1 million mortgage, it's a huge number.
Yeah, double that 650. It's $1,300. And $1 million mortgages are no longer the rarity. Plenty of people have them. The problem also is that the Reserve Bank is always saying, look, plenty of people have been prepared, high household savings, all that sort of stuff. Yes, you've had time to prepare if you've owned your house for 5 or 10 years. But if you've owned your house for 6 or 12 months, you haven't had time and you've paid at the sky-high prices. They're the people that are really going to struggle.
So let's unpack this buffers debate just a bit more, Steve, because, you know, they're still trotting it out. Most households have plenty of buffers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. To my mind, that is a bit disingenuous to a lot of people who don't have those buffers. And some do, clearly, but many don't.
Yeah, look, on average, Martin, we're all going to be okay. Well, that's great if you're average, and it's great if you're above average. But if you've not had time to get a buffer set up, and then you will be in trouble. And frankly, a lot of people haven't. I mean, if the bottom, the most recent purchases, 20%, the 30% of people who purchased over the last few years, they're the ones that will not have a buffer. And they're the ones with the higher repayments and the lower equity. So, talking on average is great, but it's not what we really see, because we will see people struggling. We will see people not able to meet their repayments. Forget about averages and start talking about bands in the community and the groups that will struggle.
Yeah, well, I'm a great fan of segmentation and getting granular, because I think it's the only way to go. It's also worth highlighting, of course, that some of the RBA data is from HILDA information, which is from surveys 3 years old, which is really not going to be very helpful currently, because things have changed dramatically, cost of living are rising, and as you say, incomes haven't been. So I think there is a really important observation there about getting granular. I guess the other point is that some people quote the performance of mortgage-backed securities and say, well, you know, delinquencies are quite low. But I always make the point there, the trouble is they're hand-picked securities. They're not a selection of the total market again. So once again, we're cherry-picking a bit, I think.
We are. And look, say that delinquencies are low. This is early days in this cycle. I mean, it's only since May that we've been seeing increases. So people will have been able to meet the first 150 and the next 150, but they've only been doing that for a couple of months. And, you know, if they get desperate, that could have gone on to credit card balances or something. Who knows? It's just way too early to make a judgment based on that. We've just done a survey. So our survey is not 2 years old, and it's only in the end of August we did this survey. And it does show that 68% of people believe that they'll be either better off or no worse off as a result of increasing interest rates. Now, a bunch of those people, around 24%, actually do have loans, but they're saying that we're okay because we've got a fixed rate loan, or we are ahead, we've got savings, or we can just afford the extra increase. Now, they've been around for a lot longer with smaller mortgages than the people who are more recent entrants. The telling thing, though, is that 24% of these people say, look, we're going to be stressed, we're going to struggle. And half of them are saying we're going to have to cut back on essentials, not cut back on going to the movies, the theatre, the restaurants, but cut back on essentials to meet the repayments. So that's a big number in the community. It's not 24% of homeowners or mortgage holders, it's 24% of people. It's plenty of people are going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and in fact, we're seeing in our surveys higher levels of cash flow stress amongst renters as well as mortgage holders. And, you know, not all households, but 46% of mortgage holders are saying, you know, we're having to prioritise. We're having to decide what to spend money on versus not what to spend money on, because the cash flow isn't going the right direction. And even a higher proportion of those in the rental sector are also struggling too. So, again, I think going granular and understanding the consequences is really important. And I also make the observation, Steve, I don't know whether your survey showed this, it isn't just in the high areas of Sydney and Melbourne where prices have gone through the roof and mortgages are big. Other parts of the country are also being impacted too.
Yeah, they are. This is typical that Sydney and Melbourne do lead the market one way or another, and they led the market up big time, and the rest of the country followed, and even regional areas followed, and this is over the last couple of years. They've led the market down, but and Brisbane and places like, you know, smaller centres were still showing growth in prices when Sydney and Melbourne started to show the decline. But, you know, what the whole country's caught up now, and we're all going backwards in price. So, you know, it is everywhere, and the mortgage stress will be everywhere, and it will be in the regions as well. Now, that's kind of a bit unheard of, but property prices went whoomper in the regions as well over the last 6 or 12 months. So, you know, it's going to happen right across the country.
Yeah, well, that's certainly what my data is showing, and there are hot spots in a number of areas. Now, obviously, a lot of it's in the high growth corridors, you know, recent purchasers, first time buyers, first generations Australians have moved in and bought big. Quite often, of course, those areas are not well served with some of infrastructure, you know, transportation. So people are spending a lot more on getting about, and of course, fuel costs are pretty expensive as well as everything else. So you can sort of understand it. But I also see other groups, some older Australians, people who've moved perhaps to sea change and tree change opportunities quite recently, also struggling too. So this is a really important patchwork conversation. And again, I think averaging doesn't really tell you the full story. So, you know, these surveys are really important.
Yeah, they are. And you know, I think people should be careful about saying, well, look, we're not seeing this or we're not seeing that at the moment, because it you know, this is the beginning. This is just the beginning. And people can patch over things for a little while, but unless wages start to increase, we're going to really struggle to sustain the repayment. Not just struggle to make it for a month or two, but to sustain it over a long time.
So, Steve, one of the things I've noticed is that some of the banks have actually started moving some of their variable rates around, and we can get a really interesting observation from that as to how they are thinking about the market.
Yeah, look, you can. The biggest lender in Australia has a 70 to 80% LVR. So these are people who have at least 30% equity in their property. Now, they're paying the lowest rate that they have is 3.69. When you get to that 70 to 80% band, so think about 80%, that's the regular sort of deposit required, that rate now becomes 3.79. If you've borrowed at greater than 80%, it's 4.66. Now, that's a much bigger differential than I think I've seen in a little while, and it says that they're seeing a fair bit of risk in the market at the moment. And realize that people with those very large loans and small equity present a massive risk, not just to themselves, but also to their lender. So it sort of does say something about the market and the outlook, because if they're saying that, well, they don't get it wrong that often. I hope I've got those rates wrong. If not, apologies to CommBank if I've got them wrong, but that's what I extracted the other day.
Yeah, but the point structurally there is that as you get up to higher loan-to-value ratios, the banks are seeing more risk and therefore they're putting the rates up. And, of course, a lot of the bank economists are talking about potentially prices sliding back, maybe 15, 20% or whatever it is, right? So they're trying to protect their book. And remember, I want to underscore this, the banks look at it from their perspective, their risk profile, not actually from a customer perspective, right? So it's worth just reflecting on that in the context of what you just said.
Yeah, it is. Let's say you get into mortgage stress because your repayments are too high. Then you've got a massive problem on your hands. But it's your problem at this stage if you have equity in your house. So if you've got 30 or 40% equity in your house, you own, you know, sort of 30% of your house, that's your problem, that you have troubles with the repayments. If your equity in the house is diminished and you only have equity of 10% in your house, then your problem is also now the bank's problem, because they'll lose money if you have to sell up or they have to sell you up. So that's the point, really, that where LVR pricing for the amount of equity you've got comes into play, because they are going to say, well, it's much, much higher risk if you only have, you know, 15% when you enter into the deal. So it's a very good indication of where they're seeing the future as well.
Yeah, and I'd make one other point. I've had a few conversations recently with debt counsellors, and they're seeing a nearly doubling of calls in some areas. So there are a lot more people now beginning to wonder what to do and how to deal with this. And again, I agree with you. We're in the very early foothills of the crisis that is going to emerge ahead, because rates are going to go on up. The RBA pretty much said as much yesterday, right? Rates will continue to rise. And if you look at what the Federal Reserve said about going higher and for longer, that means that this is not just a sort of a 2 months, 3 months period and then it's going to come down again. Rates are going to stay high. And even the RBA is saying that the inflation rate next year will be above their target. So it looks to me as though we're in for not just rate hikes, but a high plateau, which means, as you say, that month by month by month, their financial situation of many households do begin to deteriorate. And I guess there is a point when suddenly people move from thinking she'll be right to thinking, oh, wow, now this is getting really serious. I'm not sure where that point is, maybe a few months away, but I'm just wondering whether it might coincide with Christmas.
Yeah. Look, the Reserve Bank during the month sometime, one of the deputy governors said, look, we are still well below the neutral rate for the cash rate. And when questioned about what the neutral rate was, well, the answer was, well, we're not quite sure of that, but then nobody can be sure of that. But we're below the neutral rate. Now, we frankly, right now, because inflation is so high, we've got to be above the neutral rate. So there is still a ways to go here with further increases. But the other thing is that people hit fatigue on it. And you know, all of these rate increases coming month after month after month, people will hit fatigue trying to meet the repayments. Now, it hasn't happened yet, but in a year or two's time, it'll get to the point where people say, look, this is just getting too hard. It's been going on for too long. You know, if they're lucky enough to have a bit of equity in the property and they still want to get out, at least they'll be able to make a recovery. But if prices fall in between time, house prices, then their equity is going to get skinnier, and recent purchasers only have to see properties fall from the peak by 23%, I worked out the other day, to actually hit negative equity. Now, if you hit negative equity and you're trying to sell in a market that's done that, it's not going to be easy to sell and get out without a debt. And if you get out leaving a debt with the bank, it'll be many, many years before you get back into the housing market. So people are going to have to try to hang in there. And I know this sounds like it's sort of an Armageddon situation. 23% is a massive price fall, and I don't think we'll hit that. But, gee, one of Australia's foremost economists is saying, well, maybe 30% is not out of the question. Now, that would be terrifying.
Yes, it would. And, of course, it may not be across all the country. It might be in particular pockets. But, yeah, you've got to assume that prices are going to slide back. And, of course, a few people did get in with you know, government assistance to go in at sort of 5% equity, right? Now, you start to see some of the limitations of that particular government stimulus program, because they are going to be the first ones to basically go under the bus.
Yeah, all of those assistance programs to get people into houses earlier are starting to look like they're going to backfire. Now, that the government one is one of them. There are those shared equity programs where people effectively have owned half of their house, or two-thirds, 80% of their house, and some other outside group owns the other 20%. They pay rent on that. Those programs like lenders' mortgage insurance is another one. People are left with a bigger debt. They have less equity in their house. They're left with a bigger debt, and they've got to repay a bigger debt. Now, when interest rates were, you know, when you could borrow for a house at 2.5%, you could afford that big loan repayment. When suddenly you're going to be paying over 4%, that's a different ball game altogether. The repayment becomes the burden and the limiting factor. But those people now are in houses and having to meet that repayment. If they went to the bank today with the scenario that they had 6 or 12 months ago when they bought with a 90% or 95% mortgage, the answer today would be no, you can't have the loan because you can't afford the repayments. Everyone 12 or 18 months ago was worried about just the deposit, and that's history now. The repayment's the bigger deal.
Absolutely right. And of course, the bottom line is we have full recourse loans in Australia, so you can't just hand the keys back to the bank and say, cheers, you still owe the debt until you pay it off. And the borrowing power, in other words, on the same parameters that you actually went to the bank 6 months ago, if you go back now, they'll give you less, maybe about 20% less on some calculations or more, which suggests that there are a lot of people who are really up to their neck in debt. And we're expecting one set of environmental circumstances with ultra low interest rates and probably more wages growth. Well, we've got high, high interest rates because of high inflation. Wages growth still isn't taking off. So the net sum game here is pretty uncomfortable for many households. I guess, Steve, the question is, if you're starting to sort of see yourself in this situation, what are the things they should be doing? How should they be thinking about the problem?
Yeah, look, one of the first things to think about is to say, well, look, I've got to talk to the bank. Now, you prepare before you talk to the bank, but you do have to talk to the bank because you can't get yourself into a position where you've missed three payments and the bank is phoning and you're dodging their phone calls. You can't let yourself get into that situation because the bank does have hardship deals that they do, and it normally means that for a period of time they'll put you onto a lesser repayment and work out how they deal with it. But the bank also will say, well, hold on, this is going to go on for a lot longer than just short term. So you've got to have a real proposal. Now, what do you do? When do you approach the bank? Well, approach the bank before you start missing repayments is really the answer. And try to come up with a solution that says, look, I am getting a second job or something just for the time being. And I know it sounds horrendous in terms of lifestyle, but some people are going to have to do that. The bank will talk to some people and say, look, from where we sit, we look at how much you owe and how much you're earning. And unless you can bump up the income side of the equation, maybe you'd better get out now while you still have a bit of equity. So the bank will have that conversation with some people. And moving early can sometimes be a better answer than hanging in and moving late, in particular if house prices start to fall much further. And that's probably the thing that will determine to one degree your timing on this, because if you still have a strong enough equity position in the property, there are solutions there that will say, look, the bank can wait a bit longer because the bank won't be stressed because they aren't going to lose money. But if your equity position's tight, the bank will be worried about its situation because it will have to write off money if you can't repay your loan. And you've got to worry about getting out with something rather than nothing, or even owing something but not owning the house anymore. So that will determine to a degree the timing, but it's still income that will determine whether you can hang in or not.
Absolutely. And I think being self-aware in this circumstance is really important, right? Which includes knowing what your current repayments are, knowing how they're going to change, knowing what the current mortgage rate is that you're actually with, and you know, have you got the best rate? You can get all those things there too. But also thinking about what happens as rates go up and how am I going to tackle it? And as you say, talk to the lender early is, I think, a very, very important part of the journey. I mean, there are also financial counsellors who can assist. You know, the National Debt Helpline is one that I often point people towards. It's a free service. It's not a service where you have to pay, because you have to be really careful here. If you actually start reaching for the wrong help, you can end up paying through the nose for it.
Look, use the government one. Do not use... If somebody says, we can solve your problem, now give us $1,000 and we'll tell you how, that's not the group to go with. You go with the government one, it's a free deal. The last thing people in mortgage stress need is to pay for this advice, because they can get good advice that's not tainted at all through the National Debt Helpline. So go there. Don't pay a lot of money for this. Get advice. Do get advice. Because, I mean, what I can say here now and what you can say here and now, Martin, is basically, look, we don't know anyone's personal situation. We're just talking about the principles here. But everyone's situation is a little bit different. Yep. And what the National Debt Helpline will do with you is say, well, look, here are your commitments. We've talked to you. We've understood your position now. Here's what you committed to. Here's the dollar figure of the debt and other fixed commitments and repayments, et cetera, et cetera. And here's the income. Now, how are we going to make that work? And how are we going to change your spending habits to help you get there? And what can we sort of tweak in a different way? Yeah, and what I've come back to now is the other point. I would normally say to people, get into the cheapest loan you possibly can get into, and then make the highest repayment you can possibly make in order to get ahead so that you have this buffer. But you know what? It's too late, unfortunately, for some people to do that. If your income is already too stretched to actually afford another solution, and if your equity is too skinny for another lender to step in, and if you're locked in with your loan because you've got lender's mortgage insurance or something, you're not actually going to be able at this stage to refinance. And so you're a hostage in the loan you've got, and you're stuck with that. So that's probably out of the question for the group who are already in trouble here. For the group who still have plenty of equity and are comfortably repaying their loan and have a buffer in their income, then they are in high demand. And that group also, so should be acting right now to get into that cheaper loan while they can and get their payments further ahead by maintaining a higher repayment rate than they're required to. So there are both groups, whether you're feeling comfortable or not, you should be doing something, and you've got better options. If you can't refinance because you're in that stretched and stressed situation, then okay, really sit down, get advice, work out a budget, and work out how you can deal with it.
Absolutely, and we'll put the National Debt Hotline number down below. It's a very useful number to know, it's confidential, and it's free, it's government supported, and it's basically non-for-profit. So it is the best source of advice if you're in that more sticky and difficult situation. But I just want to come back to the apathy tax discussion we always have, Steve. There are still people who are on mortgage rates that are higher than they should be simply because they haven't done the work to go and check the best rates and make sure that you can actually get a better rate. Today, more than ever, that is a real issue. People need to go and look.
Yeah, look, absolutely. The average home loan rate right now is 4.51%. And the lowest rate right now, which is only available at this stage for refinance, is 3.14%. Now, that's a huge differential. And 1.3% roughly. Now, you can save yourself hundreds of dollars every month on your repayment just by refinancing. And if you are in that comfortable position of having equity in your property, good equity in your property, and reasonable income to cover repayments, you are in high demand. You need a clean credit history and all that stuff too, but you're in high demand and you should be getting in now, and get in now, but do not reduce your repayments. Keep your repayments up at the higher level. Make sure you're in a loan that has redraw or offset so that you can use that repayment later on when your rates inevitably keep going further up.
Yeah, and the last thing to touch on today are fixed rates, because, of course, there are some people who are sitting on quite nice low fixed rates at the moment, but, and there's a big but, at some point those fixed rates will reset, and they'll either reset to the standard variable or to a higher fixed rate if you actually renegotiate. Mm-hmm. People should be planning ahead for this, shouldn't they?
Yeah, this could be an awful shock for a lot of people. The banks were offering rates around 2%. Even the big guys were offering rates around 2% 12 or 18 months ago. And the proportion of people moving into fixed rates rather than variable shot up from the regular 15% of people up to about 40% of borrowers. And they all were fixing in 2 and 3 year terms because that's where the rates were cheapest. Now, if you went into a 2 year term, around the middle of next year, people are going to start running off their fixed rate period. And they're going to find that their 2% loan is now more like a 4% loan. And in one hit on a $500,000 mortgage, they'll be jumping up around $600 in repayments, just in one hit. Now, if you're not preparing for that now, you're going to get an awful shock and put your household budget under terrible stress. So now is the time to prepare for it by putting away extra repayments now and getting them into your offset account or any form of savings, whatever, but somewhere where you can draw on them to help with the repayments down the track. Now, if you've got huge income, well, fine, but most of us don't have huge incomes. We budget for a loan repayment and living. Well, start budgeting now for the $600 more that you'll be hit with in a one-off chunk.
Yeah, and that's a really important message, Steve, because I get a few people say, well, nothing to do with me at the moment because my fixed rate is still really low. So I can merrily go on spending, to which I respond, well, yeah, but remember that there is a tsunami coming, right? And what you should be doing is laying the foundations now for to dealing with that. Don't just wait for it to arrive, because as you say, the shock of that significant rate hike, which will be there, will be dramatic. So think ahead, plan ahead. Unfortunately, I think some fixed rate mortgage holders are rather sitting in a sort of a little smug comfort zone, saying it's not hitting me at the minute.
Yeah, look, it's tempting to be saying, well done, Steve, you got into a fixed rate. You know, how clever was that? But that's just for now. And all that that means is that you've bought yourself a year or 2 years worth of respite, but it's coming down the track and you'll be up for just as big an increase as variable rate increases, except that you've just delayed it. And it comes in one hit, so it will be a shock if you're not ready, if you're not planning for it.
Absolutely. Well, as we close out this conversation, we should just underscore again, the Reserve Bank is saying more rate hikes are likely ahead. So this is not the end of the pain, and it takes 2 to 3 months for the full impact to come through, because the bank has to go through its internal processes and advise you and those sorts of things. So we're in those foothills at the moment, and therefore people need to be planning ahead for probably a couple of years of significant mortgage pain.
Yeah, that's right. Matt Comyn, who's chief executive of CommBank, came out during the month and he said, look, there is actually a three-month lag with home loan repayments. I couldn't quite figure out how it's 3 months, because I thought it was more like 2 months. But anyway, there's that lag before it actually bites. So in fact, what it means is that if you go back 3 months, so we've had May, June, July, August, and now September. Well, no one's paying a September increase. No one's paying an August increase or a July increase. So in fact, you've only actually seen 0.75, not 2.25 worth of increase coming through to household budgets. So 0.75, three times that is yet to come through to your actual repayment being made. That's with the 3 month lag. So, you know, this is really early days. People have to think, well, it's going to get tough and I've got to find a solution. Now, if you are in that stressed position, start with the premise that I do want to keep my house. How do I keep it? And then make sure that with advice externally that you are being realistic with that.
Absolutely. So think ahead, plan ahead. Don't just put your head in the sand and say, she'll be right. I mean, that's a very Australian thing to do, but in this circumstance, it's probably not very sensible. And, you know, plan for those higher rates now. Begin to understand your own cash flows as best you can, and think about the options that you need to explore. And I actually think this is a really important message for a lot of people, because this is a whole new ball game, isn't it? We've not seen this for a generation.
Yeah, there's a generation of borrowers who have never, ever seen an interest rate increase. And it's sort of like, what? The bank is writing to me, not once, not twice, not three, not four, five times now, saying they want more money from me every month. And that is unknown territory for a lot of people. And sure, you know, old folks like us, Martin, have been through this before, and it's a cycle, and it will pass. I've got to say to people, look, this will pass. Yep. But we do have to get used to the fact that our interest rates in the last 5 years have been extraordinarily low. You know, when the Reserve Bank went to 2.5%, 3% even, I was saying, boy, I've never seen anything like this before in my lifetime. And we have gone through a strange period. We're now just returning to a more normal level of interest rates. So, you know, the shock of increases will start falling behind us eventually, and wages will start going up to help us out. But we're just returning to a more normal environment. So, and it will be with us for a lot longer.
And of course, it's worth bearing in mind that the long-term average mortgage rate is what, 6.5% to 7% in Australia, right? If you look over a long period. Just bear that in mind, folks. That's where we could be heading.
Yeah, that's right. And boy, we better be right that we get some wages growth, because otherwise it's going to be really messy.
Steve, I really appreciate your time today. Some very, very important messages. And as always, very, very significant issues that we touch on. But I guess the other message is there's hope there. You know, there are things you can do. Start acting early.
Yeah, do. And I said it before, I always want to go back to this. Start with the premise that I have a toehold in the property market. I want to stay there. I'll do what it takes to stay there. And if it means a second job for a period of time, well, it's easy to say, and I know people have all sorts of family and lifestyle pressures, but think about solutions other than, I just got to get out of this mess. Try to find a way of hanging into the equity you've got, hanging into your toehold in the property market, and taking that long-term view that, if I can do the hard stuff now, I'll be better off longer term. Because longer term, you will be better off, provided you can hang in there.
Steve, thank you very much. Great advice. And I'm sure we'll be chatting again in the next few weeks as this rate cycle continues to move. Thank you for your time.
It's a pleasure, Martin.
Thanks.